Find your place. I know it's a rainy day outside, but it's Thanksgiving. And how many of you are off for Thanksgiving? Let's see your hands. Most of you off for Thanksgiving. There'll be a few workers. I know they have to put in the hours. But it is good to have you today. And I always enjoy the holidays. We don't have to travel anymore. My mom and dad are here with us. And we trade off Thanksgiving and Christmas with the California group. So it's always a fun time. So we'll be, we don't cook anymore. We don't cook turkey. We just go buy them. Come on, somebody. We just go to Honey Bake and buy them and eat theirs. So it's a really good time. We have a lot of people out on the road today. They're all traveling. We're going to talk about lying. Everybody say lying. We're going to talk about lying today. Some of you want to hear more about the tongue, but we'll leave that as it was. But we're going to talk about lying. And we're talking about old school. Everybody stand up, if you would, and give your legs a little stretch so you can sit longer. It says, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Everybody say, we will walk in it. One of the keys I talk with my staff pastors quite a bit is Christianity did not start in the 2000s. Christianity's been around for a long time. And I get on them about their reading material because I said, if only you read on current authors, if you only read, you know, the latest Charisma or the latest, leadership magazines now, you kind of act like Christianity only started now. You're going to be warped in your brain because Christianity started, you know, for over 2,000 years and more. And really beyond that, God has truths to people. So if all you do is glean from current leadership or current thought, you really get warped in your thinking because, you know, whatever the current theme is. Because it's been around a long time. And that's why it says there are some ancient paths that really old school stuff that really is good. You repackage it. There's not something new under the sun. There's not something brand new that they've discovered about, you know, about the Lord that didn't work then. Those things worked, you know, 2,000 years ago. They work today. And they worked 4,000 years ago. They work today. And one of the keys that we're talking about in the book of Exodus, where it says you must not tell lies about your neighbor. We've got to use it a different frame as we did than last week. The New Century Version says you must not tell, everybody say lies. You must not tell lies. Let's say it one more time. You must not tell lies. A current survey showed that 91% of Americans lie on a regular basis. 91% of Americans lie on a regular basis, not just occasionally, on a regular basis. And let's just see our hands. How many of you have ever been lied to? All right, let's see him in. I'm not going to ask how many of you have lied, but I'm going to ask how many of you have been lied to. All them other old people. That's the other 91% of all those other people. You're the 9% that doesn't lie. I understand that. Now, one of the keys is, I won't say who it is, but on one of the holidays one time, but we had one of our families like they're doing now. Many times they'll go with their family to church somewhere just for the holidays. And they were out somewhere, and the mother was an older mother, and the lady from our church was 35 years old. And the mother introduced her to her pastor and said, this is my daughter. She's 25 years old. And so the woman was very, you know, embarrassed, you know, but she didn't say anything. And later when they were alone, she said, Mom, why did you tell her I was 25 years old? And the mom said, well, I've been lying about my age so long, I had to start lying about yours too. Come on, somebody. Mark Twain said it best. He said, the difference between a person that tells the truth and the person that lies is the person that lies has to have a better memory. Oh, you're better than the morning crowd. Right, you're alive. You're awake this morning. So one of the keys about it is understanding that telling the truth is really an evidence of a changed life. The Bible says, lie not one to another, since you put off the old man according to the old ways. So one of the keys is you may have been a liar before you got saved, a habitual liar. But when you got saved, something happened. You want to start telling the truth. And the reason of that is not so much because, the reason is because we serve a God who only tells the truth. And we become like him. One of the keys, Romans says, we are being transformed into the image of Jesus, glory by glory, step by step. And the reason is Jesus, God always tells the truth. And so this morning, God never demands of us what he does not model for us. Be holy for what? For I am holy. And one of the keys is this morning I want to talk to you about is tell the truth because I am truth. He is the way, the truth and the life. There is no darkness in him. There's no lie in him. So I want to talk to you about that today. And let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for bringing into our lives a truthful nature that we will not lie. We won't embellish. We won't enlarge. We won't exaggerate. Lord, we will tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We love you with all our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen today. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I want to go kind of a different frame on this one part of the Ten Commandments. And that is we're going to talk about God that cannot lie. And the reason we're not to tell lies any longer in our life is that because we serve a God that does not lie. He never exaggerates. He never embellishes. He just tells the truth. And that's the way God does. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. So we start with Hebrews chapter 1. It says, for when God made a promise to Abram, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abram, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For the people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly the heirs of the promise, unchangeable. The unchangeable. That means when he said it, he meant it. When he said it, he's not going to change. When he says something, you said the unchangeable character of his purpose. He guaranteed it with an oath so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Can God do everything? Nope, he cannot lie. There's one thing God cannot do, he cannot lie. It goes against his nature. His throne would fall if he lied. He cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. It is because of his nature. He cannot lie. Which it is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled for refuge. Watch this. Because it's impossible for God not to lie. Because it's impossible. It makes us, we have fled for refuge, who it might have a strong encouragement. Everybody say encouragement. Because it's impossible for God to lie, you can have a strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Because it is impossible for God to lie, that means you might have a strong encouragement to hold fast the hope that is set before us. One of the keys is, I want to talk to you about that, because literally there is something that will literally produce a strong encouragement into your life. And that is when this revelation breaks inside of you that you serve a God that cannot lie. That it is impossible for God to lie to you. And when you come to that place and you say, and not with your head, but in somewhere deep inside of your core of your being, you just know that you know that you know it is impossible for God to lie. If he said it, he'll bring it to pass. If he said it, it will come to pass, because it's impossible for him to lie. I was reading the other night, I loved it, I was reading Teresa Greenhoff's her life biography. She talked about one day God just spoke to her that in India she needed a passport because she was going to go out of the country to study. Passport office had been closed down for 4 months. The Indian government clamped down on passports because of all the fake passports and a lot of stuff going on. But in the middle of that, at the beginning of that, the Lord spoke to her when they said, go to the immigration office or go to the office of passports and go ask for a passport. Well, she couldn't believe it because they just announced on TV and in India, you cannot do that. You cannot get passports. There's been a 4 month thing on it and you can't get it. So she got up. She had a broken arm at the time. She walks through, and there's barricades up at the passport ministry where they get them, and she begins to walk toward them. People are outside offering any kind of money. There's people with businesses that had to get out of the country and couldn't get out of the country. Their passports had expired, and there was just a big crowd there with police guarding it, and on and on. She said she walked right through the crowd. Walked right through the barricades. Nobody stopped her. Nobody asked her a word. She walks into the building, walks up to the fourth floor, looks, faith finds a door that says passports, knocks on it, nobody answers, she opens the door, she walks in, and there is a bunch of government officials now meeting, dealing with this issue and this crisis. She goes up to look like, she said, one of the most impressive ones in there. She said, "I'm Teresa Greenhoff. I need a passport to get out of the country." And this man just blasted her. "Who do you think you are? Go back home. There's no passports for 4 months. Have you not been ready?" Rah, rah, rah. And just turns. And she turns around, walks out the door, walks back down the four steps, walks out the courtyard, goes back home. And all she did was obey. Come on. All she did was obey God. She said about a week later, she's in there praying, and the Lord says, go and get your passport. She gets the arm, goes back through the same barricades, walked right through, nobody questions her, nobody asks her, goes up four flights of stairs, go down the door, another knock this time, just walks in the door. There, the group of officials here, she walks up to the same man and says, "I've come to get my passport." See, the man looks around, calls his assistant, said, "Help this woman get her passport. Come on, somebody." They take her in there. She fills the papers out. They said, "No need to come back. In 2 weeks, the passport will arrive at your house." 2 weeks later, here comes the mailman. The passport arrives at her house. Come on, somebody. How many know when God says something, He means what He says? He just means what He says. He does what He says, and He says what He does because He cannot lie. He's not a man that He should lie. He's God Almighty, and when God says it, it's impossible for God to lie. He cannot embellish. He can't exaggerate when He says something to you. What He says, He means, and what He means, He says. And when He says it, you can book your life on it. Base your entire existence upon it. Because God has never lied, nor will He ever lie. But when He says it, He says, and what He does is this. The Bible says, we'll skip a little bit. In Matthew chapter 24, it says this: "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away." Because God, listen, they'll pass away, but God will never pass away. You know, there's a lot of places try to build and showcase their business as if it's stable, like Prudential, the rock of Gibraltar, because we'll never change. But really, the Bible says one day heaven and earth itself will pass away. The only thing stable in this entire universe is God Himself. Heaven and earth will pass away. One day He'll fold up this old world as a garment does. And literally it says that. It said it's going to pass away. But I want you to see this. In Romans chapter 4, something happened in Abraham's life that changed him forever. It didn't happen all at once. But when it did happen, it changed him forever. He was never the same again. He was never the same person again. Because something happened deep on the inside of him one day that it went from his head to his heart to his spirit, that he came to a place where he believed that God, it was impossible for God to lie. And more than just giving a mental assent, I believe it. But it came to a point in his life where he lived it. He started out by not living that way, and then he came to a place where he just started living that way. Everything he did, everything he said, just came out of him. He just believed God, that it was impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God. It's just impossible for God to lie. It got hold of him. It's just one thing to have a vision, but you really don't have a vision until a vision has you. You can put a vision on a wall and memorize it and spit it out like a parrot. But until that thing grabs you, until it has you, then you're different. Then you're changed. And it came to pass at the beginning, Abraham knew that. And then it was like it got hold of him. And he lived a life like he believed this impossible. Everything God said will come to pass. It's impossible for God to lie. Just impossible for God. Why should I worry? He said, "The birds of the air I have now, but He'll take care of me." Why is it impossible? It's impossible for God to lie. And so the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, look at this. I love this story because Paul says something here. I love what he says. "What shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefathers, according to the flesh?" It says, "It is written, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham, watch this, believed God, Now we read that and we say, we all did that. We all done that. We all believe. No. Let me show you, because something happened to him that the Bible pinpoints and God pinpoints that was a turning point in his life. That he went from one point not being counted as righteous to the next thing being counted as righteous. What was that? Well, he just believed. Well, we just think that's something in our minds that we mentally assent to. No. It's something that grabbed hold of him. It's something that happened in him that deep on his inside of his heart, of his spirit, he was changed. He started living a life like, it's impossible for God to lie. It's just impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. When you begin to understand that, here's what happened. The Bible says that he came to a place where God came to him and said, Abraham, you're going to have a baby. And the Bible says very clearly, Abraham laughed. Can you go to that scripture in Genesis? See if you can find that scripture. I know I'm jumping. I'm really challenging the guys in the back because I'm jumping all around when the Lord gives it. It says literally this, that literally in the book of Genesis, that God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, you're going to have a child. And the Bible says that God literally, can you find that? Have I jumped too far ahead for you? This. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but call her name Sarah. She shall be her name. And I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will become nations. Go to the next scripture. Do I have another one? No. And it says, when he said this to Abraham, Abraham began to laugh. He laughed. He just began to laugh. And one of the things is because he had just had it in his mind. There he is. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, this is what he said, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for an offspring after him. When Abraham, listen, when God first said this to Abraham, it hadn't gotten a hold of him. It hadn't gotten in his spirit. He had not really, really believed that it was impossible for God to lie. God came, he said, Abraham, you're going to have a boy. And the Bible says he fell down on, he bent over double. Oh, that's a good one. Whoa, God, that is a good one. I had heard one like that a long time. That's better than any Boudreaux trick. I've never heard a joke like that. He didn't believe it. And the Bible says God kept speaking because he's talking to somebody that can. It's impossible for that person to lie. He hadn't broken in on the inside of him that, he's talking to somebody that it was impossible for that person to lie. He thought he was telling a joke. He thought it was funny. He thought it was hilarious. He had come to the place where he said, I didn't realize I was serving a God that it was impossible for him to lie. I didn't know he couldn't jet. I didn't know he couldn't just tell a big fib. I know he could just embellish, like, I won't go politically, but some of our leaders can say different things to you and just promise the moon and promise this and straight face lie to you. And we get leaders like that and we transfer that to God and think God's like that too. Let me tell you, we serve a God who is impossible to tell you that if God tells you if you like your doctor, you can keep him, you can keep your doctor. Come on, somebody. He can, if God says it, he means it. And something, listen, I don't know when it happened with Abraham. Somewhere with Abraham, something broke loose on the inside of him. And he looked up at God, and something said deep on him, said, he means what he says. He said, God can't lie. You mean what you say? About this time next year, you're going to be holding a little baby in your hand. Listen, it don't matter if Sarah was 200 years old. If God said she's going to have a baby, she's going to have a baby. Come on, put on a little moonlight over Opelousas and go for it. You're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby. And the Bible says, as Abraham's walking along, God took him out one night and said, look at the stars. And he just began to look at this, because God is about, listen, God was about to do something in him that he wants to do in every one of us. And that is birth something deep on the inside of you that your life changes. And you begin to live a life as if you said, I don't know what happened on the inside of me. I don't know what happened to me, but just something inside of me just says, God cannot lie. I was in a church over in Port Allen one night. I'll never forget. They started a song. Says, something down inside of me said, go ahead, go ahead. And what happens is something down inside of you just breaks loose. And you begin to know, hey, God, it's impossible for God to lie. Put that scripture in Romans. Can you find that one? The one in Romans I read? Let's see how good they are in the back. Find the scripture in Romans I had up there. Now watch what he said. It's impossible for God to lie. Watch this. I think it's Romans 4:17. You see that one? 4:17 through 22. If you can put that one, snap that one up here real quick and snap it with that mouse and snap it with that little list of scriptures you got back there and just pull that mouse down, hit that one button right there and spring her right up here. Spring her, there you go, spring her right up here. Watch this. He in hope, he believed against hope. Isn't that a strange scripture? Isn't that a strange thing? In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. See, something's changing. Something's changing in his life. Something's changing. And God wants the same thing happen to you and to me. Something's changing. So something's happening on the inside of me. Well, I used to just be a mental Christian. I just mentally, something's changing. Something's grabbing me. Something deep on the inside is saying, I serve a God that it's impossible for him to lie. And as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith. See, when he got past that initial belly laugh, when he got past that first, it's impossible. When he got past that, because he came up with all the reasons, all the things he's experienced, all the things happened, something grabbed him on the inside. He said, oh no, it's him. He says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, though he did to start with, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. And when he looked at himself, the man, I'm about 100 years old, and I won't get into all that, but I'm 100 years old, and it's impossible. Everybody say that word. It's impossible. But then he said, I don't know how to say it. But this other impossibility has grabbed me too. Said, it's impossible for God to lie. Look at my body. It's impossible. But it's impossible for God to lie. What of them's got to give way? My body? Impossible. But it's impossible for God to lie. And the Bible says, they used to have a little grocery store called Starvin' Marvin's. You ever stopped at Starvin' Marvin's? Starve your doubts. Just starve your doubts. Don't feed it anymore. Get over here and start feeding your faith. Start doubting your doubt. Come on, somebody. Start doubting your doubt. You doubt your faith all the time. Doubt your doubt. I can't be. I'm going over here on this impossibility. It's impossible for God to lie. Now watch this. Not just for him, so which was good as dead since he was bad. And then he got his eyes off himself. Then he had problem number two. He looked at his wife. It's impossible for God to lie. All right, we'll go there. And when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Watch this. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. That's why his faith was, listen, That's why his faith was counted unto him as righteousness. Not just some silly little mental assent. Oh, I believe. Oh, in that case, you're righteous. He had dealt with his doubts, dealt with the impossibility, and he settled on this impossibility. It's impossible for God to lie. His promise is true. What he said will come to pass. And the Bible says when that broke loose deep on the inside of him, it was counted unto him as righteousness. And watch this. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. Oh, look at that, ours. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus. Listen, when you come to that place one day, you're just walking around enjoying life, doing whatever you want to do, and then somebody witnesses to you and tells you the gospel, and you hear about Jesus dying, buried, and then he rose from the dead. Okay, all right, yeah, I believe that. But the day comes when it grabs you and it breaks. And over here on this side, it's impossible for anybody to be raised from the dead. But it's impossible for God to lie. And the Bible says, and God raised his son from the dead. And one day as Abraham, you begin to look at the stars of the sky, you begin to hear the sands of the sea. And one day it breaks up on you and you say, I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. And guess what happens? You're passed from death unto life. It's counted unto you as righteousness. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But it's got to be more than just some little mental. It's something that grabs you where your life is changed. And you begin to live a life. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God. If he said it, it happened. It's impossible for God to lie. And the Bible says, and Jesus was raised from the dead. I'm going to tell you literally this. When Abraham believed that, it changed his entire life. You know, when you understand that, you realize that God is so precise that there's not one promise of his word will fail. Jesus said, not one jot, not one tittle of the law will fail. You know what that meant? That wasn't even a letter. That was just a little abbreviation, little dots they put over the letters. He said, not even that little portion of it will fail. Listen to that. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will last forever. They'll never change. You know, when you read the Bible, you begin to believe and you walk a life and you say, that God we serve, he'll bring it to pass. Let me tell you how bad it can look. One time, there was a great prophet named Elijah. He was doing miracle after miracle. And finally, God said, you're getting near the end of your ministry. Go find you a protege that you can mentor. He goes and finds a man with a similar name called Elisha. And he throws his mantle on him, calls him, Elisha comes. Toward the end of his life, Elijah says, what can I do for you before I go to heaven? And Elisha said, oh, just a little something. I'd just like to have the double anointing than what you had. And Elijah says, you ask a hard thing, but if you see me when I go, it's yours. And so the Bible says all that day he was about to be taken to heaven, the Holy Ghost had told Elisha, today's the day. And Elijah is testing him. He says, stay here, Elisha. Elisha, not on your life. Not on your life. He stuck on him and he stuck with him. And the Bible says the day came when here came the horses of heaven and the chariot of heaven. And Elijah got in it. And Elisha said, I see it. I see it. I see it. And so he threw his mantle down, and the first thing he did, he took that thing, slapped the Jordan River, said, where is the God of Elijah? And that thing split asunder. And Elisha said, ooh, this is going to be good. And when you read the Bible, you find out that Elisha did exactly what God did exactly what he'd asked. He did twice as many miracles as Elisha. Read them, just count them. Except when he died, you know, most of, but let me just say it for us. When he died, he was one miracle short. He dies. Oh, guess God keep his word. Oh, guess God keep his word. God said he'd do twice, but God don't keep his word. Let me tell you how precise the God you serve is. He's a miracle short. He's been dead now for months or years. There's a war going on. The Israelites battling. One of the Israelite soldiers gets killed. Instead of leaving him out on the field, the soldiers grab him, run away with him, and they're coming by a cave, and they throw the dead man in the cave. It just happens to be Elijah's burial cave. This soldier's dead body hits the bones of Elisha, and next thing you know what happened? Pops up out of that grave. That soldier comes running out of the grave. Come on, somebody. One more miracle. Well, I guess God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He said it'll come to pass. What he says he will do. This morning when you come to a place in your life, when you wonder whether God will do what he said he will do, I don't care if death has occurred, you just give God time. It is impossible for God to lie. One of the best things you'll ever do in life is have a friend who will tell you the truth. You got enough of the other kind, right? You got enough of the other kind. I look great. You might have grease smeared on one side and mascara. I remember one time I was doing a counseling back. You remember when there wasn't the waterproof mascara? Remember when mascara? And there was, I remember we were in a counseling session one time. There was a number of us. And one of the women had been crying, and she looked like a horror creature. She looked like, I mean, there was mascara down her face. And she said, I didn't look at it. She scared me. I just looked the other way. And I remember her asking her husband, do I look okay? Oh, honey, you look fine. You look fine. He'd lying through his teeth. And when she sees her first mirror, she's going to kill him right then and there. And aren't you glad you serve a God that'll tell you, hey, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. All your other friends will tell you all the good news and everything. But if you have never experienced, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that does not have the Son. And there's all these things. The goodness about God is God will never lie. God will tell you the truth. A lot of us don't ask God things because we don't want to know what he has to say. Some of us really don't want to hear it. We want to live in our pity party. We want to live in our fake world. We want to live in our thing because we want to hear the truth. But let me tell you something about truth. Truth has the ability to set you free, protect you. Truth is that thing that really will grab hold of you and set you free. You don't have to worry about memory because it's just true. You just tell the truth. You just tell the truth. And when you come to that place, you come to a God of truth, a God that tells the truth, never lies. In him there is no darkness. There is no shadow of turning. Did I talk about that? Did I talk about the shadow of turning? In him there is no shadow. Well, just with that one last scripture, we're going to end with it. Put that scripture up about, is it book of James? It might be the book of James. Got to help my memory here a little bit. I'm almost 60 years old now. You know how that is. Old. Watch this in the book of James. Because it says something about God that you need to understand. And see, just move that mouse again. Move that mouse down and hit that one. There it is. For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow. Everybody say shadow. Shadow due to what? Due to change. He doesn't change. He says, I am God, I change not. What he's talking about there, he said, there's no changing in God. When he says heaven and earth will pass away, the word pass away literally means to change. In God, there is no change. It was speaking about a sundial. A sundial they used to put out in the middle, of somewhere in a courtyard. And they didn't have a Timex watch. They had a sundial, and the sundial would sit there. And as the sun would start, it's from east to west, it would come up, and it would cast a shadow, and they'd have markings on this big round piece, markings, and so that the object that was standing up, it would cast a shadow, and they'd know what time it was by the shadow, and the shadow would change. It would keep changing with the sun. As the sun came up, it would keep changing. The only time, listen to this, the only time there was no shadow was at noon. 12 o'clock, when the sun was at its zenith, when the sun was as strong as it would ever be, when it was at its full power, the sun is directly overhead, and at that moment, there's no shadow on either side of the sundial. And when the sun was at full power, you knew that at that moment, it was noon. They had a mark. It was noon. But then as it began to wane and the day began to wear away, you'd see the shadow cast on this side. And here's what he says about the God we serve. Watch this. The coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. You know what that means? That means God isn't getting up to speed in your situation. He didn't, I better get over there and deal with that problem. No. He's at full power all the time. He's not growing old like an old tartar man and just grew old. He's not. He's still, as the days of Abraham, he's still at full power, full noon. He doesn't change everything he said. Come on, give him a good clap offering. He's still full power today. Everybody stand up today, would you? I don't know what your need is. I don't know where you are. But I'm going to tell you, even death itself cannot stop God from fulfilling the promise to that person. Somewhere in heaven, Elisha said, whoa! I'm going to tell you, there was a shout in heaven. Elisha said, there it is, there it is, there it is. There's the last miracle. Oh, it happened there, right? And I'm going to tell you, because in God, there's no diminishing and there's no getting up to speed. He's not running to get up to full speed. He stands ready at full power every moment of your life. Close your eyes, would you? Somewhere inside of you, that has to grab hold of you, that it's impossible for God to lie. That's why God tells you don't lie. Don't lie. Don't lie. Don't lie. Why is that? Because I'm the truth. I tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And this morning, God is just trying to come to us and say, I'll tell you what, when you walk through that, and that breaks loose deep on the inside of you, then it's counted in you as righteousness. When you get to that place where you understand that about Jesus, maybe you're here today and you've been going to church and you're a good moral person, but that has never happened to where you know that Jesus died, was buried, and then he rose from the dead. To where it has grabbed, well, you don't have it, but it has you. It's taken hold of you. That's what we mean when we say, Lord, take over my life. It's taken over you. It's not some slavery thing he does. It's like a grabbing of you of so excitement and vision. And he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And it's got you. And somewhere inside of you, you just know that you know that you know he's alive. Then that's counted unto you as righteousness. Aren't you glad it didn't say it's counted unto you as sinlessness? It doesn't say that. Because if all you are is sinless, you can't go to heaven. Did you know that? You can't go to heaven just because you're sin neutral. You're sinless. You got to have the righteousness of God. You got to have that old, not just the negative part gone. You got to have the positive part on you. That's why it says, he that knew no sin became sin, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So this morning, maybe you're here and you need that to happen in your life. Maybe it's never happened in your life. You need it to happen in your life. You need to know that I know him. And one day the Bible says he's going to come say, you've done all these works, you've done all those acts, you've done all that stuff, but depart from me because I never knew you. So we want to know him. We want to know him. That I might, Paul wrote at the end of his life, I might know him. I might know him. And that's when that revelation, that thing that happened to Abraham, that day when he first belly laughed, he just fell down and belly laughed. But then when he's walking, God said, I got to teach you. I got to break it open to you. Come on out here and look at the stars. Look at them. Count them if you can. Come on, let's walk by the sea a little minute. Look at all the sand. Look at all that stuff. It's going to happen, son. It's going to happen in your life. And something broke in Abraham that said, I'm serving somebody that means what he says. Doesn't lie. It's impossible for him to lie. I just choose now to believe him, that it is impossible for him. And the Bible says it was counted in him for righteousness. And this morning, you might have been here for a little while, but this morning, maybe God is opening and warming your heart to where you can say in your heart, I don't know what it is, but somehow in my heart, I just know that it's true. Jesus died, was buried for my sins, and now he rose from the dead, and he's given me all his righteousness. If I believe and accept and receive him, as many as received him, to them came he power, become a son or daughter of God. So I want everybody to pray with me this morning. We say, Dear God, something's happening this morning. I feel it on the inside. I'm being changed. I believe that it is impossible for you to lie. And you said that Jesus died for my sins. He was buried, but that he rose from the dead for my justification. I believe this morning. Everybody say amen this morning. Would you give the Lord a good clap offering, would you? Now bow your heads. Father, I bless this people. Father, with not just a revelation, but that the revelation might grab them. Lord, that the deep within their spirits this morning, for the Lord to bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you, and the Lord to give you peace and all those things. But beyond all of that on top, I pray, Lord, that there would be a faith arise in their hearts, that they believe you, that you're able to do abundantly above all that they ask or think, that you died and rose again, Lord, that would change them, and there would be righteousness counted under their account because of their faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen one more time. Give him one more good clap offering. Would you do that? God bless you.